you to be stronger spiritually. Think of something that happened in your life that had that effect on you. And I'm not thinking just of something that made you feel good, although that probably plays into it. When you're encouraged spiritually, you feel good. But something that really challenged you and helped you grow and mature spiritually. What is that thing? And we'll come back to that at the end of the lesson this morning. Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews this morning. It's good to see all of you here today, especially if you are guests here. We're especially thankful that you have decided to join us in our worship and in our study of God's Word. The book of Hebrews is probably one of the most, at least from my opinion, one of the most encouraging and uplifting books of the New Testament. Just full of rich, encouraging thoughts, truths about how great Jesus is, how much superior he is to everything that God has ever done, and that we are partakers of the covenant and the riches of the forgiveness of his blood. But the book of Hebrews is also one of the most stern in its warnings against falling away from the faith. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, we find something of a progression, seeing how someone falls away from the faith. We find, for example, in chapter 2 and verse 1, this encouragement. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. A lot of times when people fall away from the Lord, it begins with just a drifting away. That is, not really, you know, taking much thought to what we're doing. We're not paying much attention to God or His Word. And we're just kind of meandering or cruising through life, and we are drifting away from God. But that aimlessness eventually turns into spiritual immaturity that we find in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, the writer rebukes his hearer, saying that you have become dull of hearing, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, these Christians should have been more grown up spiritually than they are now. There's nothing wrong with being an immature Christian if you are a new Christian. But these were not new Christians. The expectation is that we grow. Because they were drifting away, they were failing to grow and they were remaining spiritual infants. But if we remain in that state for long, we will eventually find ourselves falling away. As chapter 6 says, in verse 6, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Same thing he says in chapter 10 in verse 26, for if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If we find ourselves drifting away from the Lord, then we will find ourselves falling back into spiritual immaturity, and eventually we will find ourselves falling away entirely from the Lord, in fact, willfully and sinfully rejecting the truth, which we know. And here's where I want us to speak of this morning. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, the writer encourages us simply, let love of the brethren continue. So God encourages us, and the book of Hebrews offers us brotherly love as one of the things that can help us be spiritually strong, prevent us from drifting, prevent us from being spiritually immature, and yes, even preventing us from falling away. Brotherly love is one antidote to spiritual encouragement. But, you know, lest we think of this lesson in a primarily negative way, that encouragement just keeps us from falling away, we need to also understand that brotherly love helps us build up one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul is writing about the body of Christ and his Christians, he writes in verse 15 that we are to speak the truth in love, since we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And at the end of verse 16, he says that the body is built up itself in love. So you see, love is one thing that not only keeps us from becoming apathetic and immature in our faith, but it builds us up for serving Christ. And so we've been talking this year about brotherly love, at least each month, beginning the month with a lesson on brotherly love. This morning, I want us to think about how we build up one another and encourage one another spiritually. Because when you think about it, brotherly love is best expressed in anything that we do to help one another spiritually. If you think about it, we can do a lot of things to help one another, to express brotherly love. But the best thing that you can do to help someone else is to help them spiritually. Because, of course, that is what really matters. And so I want us to turn to the book of Hebrews for some encouragement and how, and some principles in how we go about encouraging and building up one another spiritually. First of all, I think we need to understand that each of us has a responsibility that we need to take seriously and take to heart. Each one of us needs to take responsibility for encouraging others. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. The writer says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." So you see that emphasis there on finishing what we have started. That we have begun this race, and now we are to finish this race strong by holding fast to what we have been assured of. And so what this passage is telling us is that I myself as a Christian, verse 12 tells me individually that I need to watch over my heart to take care that my heart is not evil and unbelieving and falls away from the living God. That's a responsibility I must take for myself. Okay, I watch over my own soul. But it's not just about that. Verse 13 says, encourage one another to do the same thing. So we have a responsibility to watch over ourselves individually, but also to some extent to look out for one another. So that we are not taken by sin. So that we are not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And the fact that each one of us is vulnerable and susceptible to sin, temptation, and being deceived by that, that means that each one of us has the need to encourage one another and be encouraged by each other's, so that we will hold fast to the end. We are our brother's keepers. You remember what Cain said to God in Genesis chapter 4 when he killed his brother and God said to him, "What have you done?" The first question he asked him is, "Where is Abel your brother?" And in verse 9, Cain said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Now, the way that Cain asked this question, he asks it demanding or expecting a negative answer. It's almost like he's saying, "I'm not my brother's keeper, am I?" And God would essentially say to him, "Yes, you are. You should have been your brother's keeper." And in fact, if you look at the text, there are seven times in verses 1 through 11 that the text emphasizes that Abel was Cain's brother. Seven times, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, emphasizes Abel was Cain's brother. It wasn't just that Cain killed another human being that was wrong. What made that wrong even more wrong was that this was his brother. He had a responsibility to look after and to help his brother, and instead of doing that, he slew and slaughtered him. Now, apply that spiritually. We are flesh and blood to a certain extent, aren't we? In a way, we are brethren. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, in fact, John speaks often in this letter of us being brothers of one another. One of those places, chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, "The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." Even what we're talking about brotherly love and that word Philadelphia that's found in the Bible. is a unique relationship between Christians, between brethren, between brothers and sisters in the flesh, in Christ. We are brethren, and therefore we have a responsibility, like family, to look after one another. We cannot, like Cain, try to absolve ourselves of responsibility. We can't look the other way when a brother or sister is in need of something. We can't look the other way whenever they are struggling spiritually. We have to look out for one another because that's what love is all about. And every single one of us needs to take this to heart. This isn't a matter of, well, we let the elders do that. We let the deacons and who are in charge of building up one another or benevolence, we let them take care of that. Or we let the preacher or the evangelist, or we let the mature Christians do all the encouraging. This is a passage, Hebrews chapter 3, which is commanded of every single one of us. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. That's my responsibility because I'm a Christian, not because I'm an evangelist. That does play into it, but because I am a Christian, because I am your brother, and because you are my brothers and sisters. The example of Barnabas is one that I think will help us take this to heart. Barnabas took this responsibility seriously. In fact, his nickname, which is Barnabas, we know him more frequently by his nickname, but his real name was Joseph. We don't think about that often. But his nickname actually means son of encouragement or son of comfort or son of exhortation. That word encouragement can mean all of those different ideas. He was so known for his attitude of looking out for his brethren that he became nicknamed for that. And Robert read for us Acts chapter 11, beginning verse 19, where we find him doing just that. In Acts chapter 11, we find that the church at Antioch is composed of Jews and Gentiles. And when the church at Jerusalem hears of the building up and the growth of the church at Antioch, they send Barnabas up there to be with them. In verse 23, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Those are encouraging words right there. Here's a man who hasn't probably met these people. He is a Jew, but he's encouraging his Gentile brethren to remain steadfast, to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. He was the man who took this job, this responsibility of encouraging and exhorting one another seriously. And the result of that, in verse 24, was that considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. When we are encouraging one another, when we're taking this job, this responsibility seriously, when we're doing that, then we're going to see growth. It's going to begin with growth here among us. But as we grow spiritually and as we encourage one another, we're going to be going out there and we're going to be bringing others to the Lord, and people are going to be brought to the Lord. So being an encourager, one who builds up another's faith, is not supplementary to being a Christian. It's not just something we add to our Christian walk, but it is a part of our Christian walk. Take responsibility for encouraging others. Secondly, there are times when we are on the other side of the coin, though, when we're the ones who are receiving the encouragement. And in those times, the book of Hebrews encourages us to have humility. Hebrews chapter 3, once again, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." Here's a remarkable truth that we need to take seriously and that we need to be sobered by. The fact is that each one of us has the capacity to fall away from the living God. You ever thought about that? That each one of us, as strong as we may be spiritually, each one of us has the capacity to reject everything that we know is true about God and His Son Jesus. We have the capacity to fall away from the living God. And that ought to humble us and remind us, as verse 13 says, that we are susceptible to the deceitfulness of sin. And so we all need this daily encouragement, as we've said already. And I want you to notice in verse 13 that phrase, day after day. Literally, that means daily, on a daily basis. Not a day should go by when we're not thinking about how to encourage one another. We get busy. We get focused on our jobs. We're not, you know, with each other every single day. So it's easy for us to lose sight of that. But it's something I think we ought to be striving for on a day-to-day basis. How can I encourage my brethren spiritually? Because we need that on a day-to-day basis. Let me ask you this. How often are we tempted? Are we not tempted by the deceitfulness of sin day-to-day, day-after-day? And if that's the case, how often do we need encouragement to refuse that and to focus on the living God as that which is true, or who is true and who helps us overcome that sin? We need daily encouragement. We need to recognize that we are accountable to one another. Yes, ultimately we are accountable to God. We're going to stand before Him on the day of judgment and ultimately give an answer to Him. But there's another sense in which we are accountable to one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul is addressing the Corinthian church about this brother who had his father's wife, he was living in adultery. And the church should have done something about that. He says, you ought to have refused this brother, cast him out of your midst, not in an unloving way, but because of your love for him, to restore him to the Lord. Notice what he says in verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? This responsibility we have of withdrawing from someone or rebuking someone is not necessarily a responsibility we have towards those who are without the church, outside of the church. But it is something we do with those within, because we are accountable to one another. So let me ask you this. Do we resent that? Do we feel sometimes, well, I don't want to be accountable to anybody. I don't want anybody, you know, meddling in my business. And by the way, this isn't about meddling in other people's business or sticking our noses where our noses don't belong. This is about being concerned about one another as Christians. Not just in a rebuking way, not just in a negative way when that's called for, but in a positive way as well. It takes humility to recognize and appreciate the fact that we are accountable to one another. But there are two things that get in the way of that. And the first of those is really more of due to our culture. We live in a country that focuses on being individuals. We like being our own person. We like being set apart from the group. And we like our personal space. We like, not showing weakness or showing dependence on anybody. But this is not the way of Jesus' church. Jesus' church is a body, it's a family, and it's designed for our spiritual good. For us to lean on and for us to depend on one another. But yet we find sometimes people saying, my life is my own business. My spiritual walk is my own business and nobody else's. That is not the attitude of a Christian. The attitude of a Christian is, I appreciate the fact that my brethren are looking out for me. But the second of these is probably more of a personal problem. That is pride. This is where sin comes in. When we feel too proud to receive encouragement. And once again, this isn't just about receiving an admonishment or a warning or a rebuke. Sometimes we're even too proud to receive positive encouragement. We think, well, I don't need that. And so we find ourselves not being with other Christians. We find ourselves maybe forsaking the assembly, not being here whenever there is opportunity for us to be encouraged. That's a matter of pride. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, this is a passage where we are encouraged to bear one another's burdens, especially in a spiritual way. If we're caught in any trespass, we're to bear one another's burdens. But notice verse 3. He says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. In other words, if we think we are something, we think we're better above encouragement, either receiving or giving encouragement, we need to think again. Because we need that encouragement. Pride gets in the way of us both giving encouragement and also receiving encouragement. Sometimes giving encouragement might be a little bit awkward. We struggle with, you know, the right words to say. We struggle with feeling genuine or sounding genuine. And so we struggle with, you know, how do I say this without being weird? But we need to work towards being genuine in our love for one another. And so let us not resent whenever others ask us how we're doing spiritually. Let's not resent others' attempts to build us up one another spiritually. And let us not try to preserve the image that, you know, we're all strong and we're all, you know, we're above the need of encouragement. You know what? Every single one of us needs encouragement. Every single one of us is not strong, not too strong to depend on that. You know what? Even the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 said, I want to be encouraged by you. Someone as mature and strong and devoted to Christ as Paul was, said he wanted and needed encouragement. Now, none of us are probably as mature as Paul, but we still need encouragement. And sometimes this might require the painful responsibility of confessing our sins to one another. James chapter 5 in verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. So that's something we do very often, especially in a public way. This isn't just a matter of someone falls away from the Lord and then returns and they confess the fact that they've fallen away. That is an application of that. But this is also to Christians who are not fallen away from the Lord. When we find ourselves really struggling with something and we need some encouragement, this is something that can help us out. Confessing our sins to one. Now, this doesn't mean that we wear our sins on our sleeves, that every time that we sin, we need to confess that before the whole congregation. That may not be appropriate. That may not be necessary. But if there is a time in our lives when we are really struggling with something, the church of Christ is the place where we ought to turn to. The local body of Christians is where we can find help and encouragement. And first of all, that behooves us to be humble in order to do that. It takes so much humility to do that. But it also behooves the congregation to be humble, to pray for that individual, to not mock, to not scorn that individual. But as James says here, that we do that, we confess our sins so that we can pray for one another. And sometimes that is what is needed. And that is so important. You ever been in a situation where someone confessed a sin before the congregation and they expressed that they were genuinely sorry for their sins and they were trying everything that they could to overcome that? Sometimes that's painful to hear, but it can also be very, very encouraging in a way. Because you see someone trying. You see someone diligently making the effort to put the Lord first in their lives. And so that's one way that we can encourage one another and be encouraged by one another. And finally, the book of Hebrews encourages us to seek one another's companionship. There's another place in Hebrews chapter 10 now where we're called upon to be mindful of one another. And you may even be thinking of where I'm going with this. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 24 it says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see how we are to be mindful of one another, consider one another, think about one another. A lot of times we might tend to focus on verse 25 here. Forsaking the assembly. But this passage really isn't so much about the problem of forsaking the assembly. The problem in this passage, the focus is on forsaking one another. Because when we forsake the assembly, when we're not here to worship the Lord together and to be here, it's not just a matter of we're not here. It's a matter of we're not here to encourage one another. We're not here to be here for one another. The purpose of this passage is for us to love one another. In verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And that means that we must not isolate ourselves. Isolation brings discouragement. A lot of times when you find Christians who are struggling with sin, maybe struggling with weakness, one of the first things that they will do is they will withdraw themselves. They will isolate themselves from the congregation, maybe because they feel ashamed, because they feel like they don't belong. They feel like they're going to be picked on or maybe singled out or embarrassed. Maybe they don't feel worthy to be a part of the congregation. But that's the worst thing that a person can do, is isolate himself from the body of Christ, because that's going to dig yourself into a hole and you're going to become more and more discouraged. You think about Elijah. In 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19, what did Elijah do when he was discouraged? He was fleeing from Jezebel and he ran away where there was nobody else. He was by himself. And God said to him, there are 7,000 other people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You go and find those people. You understand that there are people out there who are just like you, who have faith in God. Discouraged Christians often isolate themselves. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3, the Christians here are encouraged to remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves are also in the body. The Hebrew Christians were in a situation where they were being persecuted for their faith. Some of them even thrown in prison, away from other Christians. And how discouraging do you think that would have been? To be separated from your brethren, to be thrown in prison. Think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy. Paul was by himself and to some extent maybe discouraged by the fact that people had turned away from him. So that's why we're encouraged to remember them. That's why we as Christians, we think about applying brotherly love. One of the ways we can do that is to reach out to those who sometimes are isolated from other Christians. Maybe someone is shut in. They can't be here very often. Maybe someone is a weak Christian and they're not here very often because they are busy with other things. Maybe their priorities are not right. They're isolated from us. We need to be reaching out to them lest they become more discouraged. But when we come together, that's a time of encouragement and stimulating one another. That's why we're encouraged to not forsake the assembly. So that we are here to stimulate one another, to encourage one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Isolation brings discouragement, but being together brings encouragement. And so several times in the book of Hebrews, we find this interesting phrase, let us. For example, in chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 11. It says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter the rest, that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. We just read chapter 10, but verse 22 says, let us draw near with a sincere faith. Verse 23, let us hold fast to confession of our hope without wavering. Verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And then chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us do that. Meaning, let's do that together. We are in a race. Together we are. And no, we can't run the race for other people. I can't run the race for you. You can't run the race for me. But what we can do is run with each other and beside each other. And that's what we're called upon to do in Hebrews. To encourage one another. As we see the finish line, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, this is something we do together as a family. And so as we conclude this morning, I just want to offer you three quick points to help us point this into action, to help us put this into action. First of all, our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. One of the things I've come to appreciate about the Apostle Paul's letters, as we've been studying them in our Bible classes, is Paul often uses words to encourage others. And he does that so well, in such a powerful way. And maybe this is a lesson for another time, but let us think about how we use our words to encourage one another spiritually. If we think about each other's spiritual well-being often, then we also need to be thinking about ways to speak of that. If we view each other's spiritual well-being as important, then let's fill our conversation with things that will build each other up. Let's fill our conversations with things that will be encouraging and exhorting and helpful for us. Secondly, prayer is powerful. One of the most important things you can do to build up someone else is pray for them. To ask God to help them, as Paul did frequently in his life and communicated in his letters. And we also, along the same lines, can often pray that our words and our actions can be helpful and beneficial and encouraging to others, even when we may not even recognize it. A lot of times when we are encouraged by other people, they don't even know that they're being encouraging to us. And so we can do that in the same way. We can pray that our lives and our actions and our words will build up others. And then finally, our love is powerful. Brotherly love is a very powerful thing. And so let's utilize that to build up one another spiritually. This past week on Facebook, I asked people to think about and to express one thing that someone has done to encourage them and build them up spiritually, like I asked you. Same question. And one of the things that I noticed as people were commenting on that is that a lot of times we're encouraged by things that aren't even really spiritually related. We might think about encouraging someone spiritually by reading the Bible with them or praying with them, and that is good and that is wholesome, and perhaps that is something we ought to be doing more often, because all of this, of course, is about spiritual things. But people can also be encouraged by other things, by just spending time with them. Maybe sending them a card to encourage them. Maybe reaching out to them in a dark time when they're suffering or they're discouraged. Maybe it's sitting with them while they're in the hospital, or taking care of someone who is taking care of their kids while someone else has something else to do, or listening to your questions or listening to your doubts and your struggles. What was it that you thought of at the beginning of this lesson? What were you encouraged by? Was it something like that? And the reason that I asked you to consider that was I want you to think about how thankful you are for that. As you think about how that impacted your life, think about how grateful you are that someone took the time and cared enough to do that for you, whether or not they recognized the impact that they would have on you. And if we're grateful for someone else doing that for us, let's take the time and the thought to do that for other people. Would you please bow with me? Our Father who's in heaven, thank you for your example of love in sending your Son Jesus so that we could be his brethren and so that we could be a part of this body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we have this congregation here that builds itself up in love. Thank you for the examples of brotherly love here and the great love that we have for one another. We pray, Lord, that we will excel still more, and especially think about how we can help one another spiritually, that we will be mindful of one another. We'll consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. Help us to take responsibility for that. Help us to have humility to do that and to receive that graciously and to seek to be with each other whenever we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we want to encourage you, if you're not a child of God, to think about your soul. Bottom line, of everything we've talked about this morning, is your soul is more valuable to God and to you than anything you own, because your soul is eternal. And so as we've done this morning, we want to think about your spiritual, I want you to think about your spiritual well-being. Are you a Christian? And if not, here's an opportunity for you to change that. And maybe you need some encouragement of the saints here. Maybe you need the consolation, the comfort that we can provide as your family. This is an opportunity for you to make that known as well. And we will pray with you and comfort you and love you as we're commanded to. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you with this song. So let's stand and sing.